1965, a darkened street corner in Selma, Alabama, and a murder. A new podcast exposes the lies that kept this murder from being solved.
And explores memory, myth, and accountability for a crime at the heart of the civil rights movement. From NPR, White Lies. Listen and subscribe now.
You're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Today, a conversation with Joe Talbot. Joe is the passionate force behind the British band Idles. That's I-D-L-E-S. They're a band that at once are both fierce and compassionate. Here's a song called Samaritan from their 2018 album called Joy as an Act of Resistance. Idles are one of the best live rock bands I've seen, creating mosh pits and community with their noise and their humanity. I start the conversation with Joe Talbot, curious what the music is like playing in their van as they tour so many thousands of miles.
Is like one person in charge of the music for your travels, or how does, or is there a battle, or is everybody on headphones? I'm going to say not headphones. That's my guess.
No, not headphones. We're a very social little circle of tubby man. we do things democratically normally. Like, to be fair, Jeremy, our driver, who was on keys in the
test session. I didn't see at the show last night, right?
He was there. He was doing sound.
Gotcha. He was good too, but keep going.
Good. So he often picks some music, and we've all got similar tastes, so it's all good. We'll make suggestions. We're quite mindful of what we play, so like we all love music, obviously, but we're all quite active in thinking about why and what to play in certain parts of the country. And so like we were in Kansas for 2 days driving last year, and we were like, let's really test ourselves, because we were told that Kansas is a pretty boring state to drive through, and they were right. But like, oh, so this is an interesting thing, so we should challenge ourselves. And I love Radiohead. For many different reasons, and Bowen and Dev, and I don't think Lee does, but we love Radiohead for very different reasons. There's that old cliche about them being miserable, and we were like, well, let's play their catalog and see how it makes us feel after 2 days.
Oh wow, because you got a lot of time driving through Kansas.
Exactly, yeah. So we just put it on shuffle.
Give me a song. Let's start. Let's the road trip begin.
Yeah.
What do you got? What do you want?
National Anthem.
Okay.
It's probably my favorite radio song. So we listened. We excluded one album, Pablo Honey, because we didn't think it was a fair representation of Radiohead as a band. You know, it's like that first finding your feet kind of album. I don't know. I think they were going with the zeitgeist and following trends, and then they found their own language and became Radiohead. So we didn't include Pablo Honey. It's not a big thing. And Tom,
we'll get letters. But
Tom
keep
and
going.
The boys, if you're listening, we apologize. No, yeah, well, people can write in, no one cares. I'm joking, I'm joking, I'm joking. You're going to have to keep up, man.
Go.
I pretend I'm a horrible man, and I'm not. So anyway, so we're not fans of Pablo Honey, so we didn't put it in. But we went through all the others, all the new stuff, and like the, you know, like the In Rainbows CD 2.
Yeah.
It's got one of my favorite
really
Radiohead
cool,
songs on it.
Which was what?
Oh, I don't know what it's called. Okay. It's, yeah, no, I'm.
Could it be this?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to the story.
Bang is a Mash. This disc, I never listened to it until we were in Kansas. Bang is a Mash came on. It blew my tiny mind.
Let's listen to some in the clear here.
Standing in a heart.
can't believe that's a dozen years ago, but keep going.
I know, it's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even going back to like Amnesiac, it could come out now and it would sound current and relevant. I love that. I think they're a beautiful band.
We were just, in fact, I was cutting this last night at home. We did a conversation with Johnny Greenwood, who is, we commissioned a piece that he wrote that got played at the Tiny Desk. And we're putting that up online on May 20th.
Oh, my God.
And then a conversation with him, of which we did something very similar. He played sort of DJ, talked about his music. But where would he go? So you're in Kansas.
Yeah. I'm just nervous now. I've been in the same building as Johnny Greenwood. I suddenly feel fat and stupid.
I'll make you feel more comfortable. He wasn't in the building. We commissioned the work. He wrote the work. He sent us a score.
Nice.
We commissioned a group to play it. And so he hasn't been here.
So now I'm more down to earth than he is. That's great. I feel good again.
Yeah.
So we discovered that driving through Kansas and listening to Radiohead on shuffle isn't good for your mental health. I think what the lesson is that any band's catalog isn't necessary. I think it's nice to just take albums and pick out that one point in time and listen to them and enjoy that and then move on. I think variety is the spice of life, Bob, and Kansas needs a bit more fluctuations.
This weekend I hit shuffle on my entire music library, which is, you know, it's like 50,000 plus songs, whatever it is. It's a lot of songs.
Yeah.
Just to hear stuff I'd never, ever hear if I went to try to make a decision.
Mm.
And I really love that. I miss that about radio. Like you turn on the radio. I don't know how you grew up and how you found music when you grew up, but in fact, you saw my transistor radio that I had as a kid. And I love the fact in some ways that someone else has complete control about what you're going to listen to, and you're going to take it in as whatever you're doing that day and whatever your mood is in. And I miss having that happen. How do you listen to music these days?
Recently, I've been listening to my Spotify playlist of mine and my wife's wedding reception music.
Oh, and chose that? Your wife?
Yeah,
my wife
and I chose it, It's just like soul and funk music.
Nice.
It's what I grew up on, soul music, and I love it. And I think playlists have a very important role. I used to make, you know, mixtapes and stuff growing up. And
did streaming kill mixtapes?
I mean, streaming killed a lot of things with, you know, the practice of listening to music. I think my generation, your generation, other generations are a bit more tactile and involved in their own narrative of what it is to be a listener. I think these days people are a lot more impatient and passive. But in saying that, there's, you know, with every new revelation in technology and culture comes new subcultures and new practices and how to enjoy music. So it's not like our generations are better at listening to music. I just think it's a very different praxis. The internet means that I can listen to 1950s Nigerian techno, you know, or whatever. You know, that's a beautiful thing.
And I'm going to say the generation that exists now because of that is probably the most educated,
open-minded.
Generation who listens to this wide span of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I can play a record that's 50 years old and my intern will know it, whereas when I was their age, that would mean probably playing music from the 1920s, and I certainly would not have done that as a teenager. I would never have played, now I would, but then I wouldn't have played old 20s jazz music. Pick me something from your wedding or an R&B cut or something.
Well, I mean, actually one of the songs I have picked is from that. Can I pick that?
Please.
Bad Girl was our first song. It was our first dance by Lee Moses. And I discovered it watching Lena Dunham's Girls. And it's a scene where one of the characters starts dancing in her pants, in a, what do you call them here, panties, or I don't know, in a underwear.
Yeah.
There you go.
Panties are fine, but underwear.
Yeah, it sounds weird saying that. It creeps me out. Like, underwear, yeah, panties, like it's weird. So anyway, and this song came on, and there's a few moments in my life where you hear a song for the first time, and it alters your state as a person. I genuinely believe that I changed the way I felt and was because I heard Lee Moses' Bad Girl.
Awesome, let's hear it.
Thank you.
Bad girl, mama,
So I don't know Lee Moses.
Yeah.
I now will learn more about Lee Moses when I go home. But
good.
I'm going to guess, I mean, and we're from different sides of the ocean. This Lee Moses is certainly from the American South. I don't know, but I'm going to guess. Yes, maybe.
I didn't do my research.
Okay, that's
fine. I've got his music.
He's an American.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guess this is early 70s just because I'm just the sound of it. And I've never heard this. So this is awesome. How did you find it?
Well, through Girls, the TV show.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but just for the listeners, the version you just heard is a live version. And actually, as a rarity, the version on record is more visceral and more pained and more alive than that live version, I feel. So go and seek it out.
Okay.
Definitely seek the record version. For me, soul music is where all my feeling comes from in terms of listenership. I learned how to listen to music from soul music. So I think I was, what's the word?
Raised on it?
I was raised on it in a way, but it was an unfair start. I don't think it got any better than that for me. I think soul music has everything humane that one needs as a fan, and I think it's stunning. I think the depths of it are unfathomable, and even though people, label us as a punk band or whatever, but, soul music was more punk than punk. In every aspect of that word, I believe.
But you're not surrounding yourselves with those kind of players. It's not a big brass section when I go to see Idols, and there's not a funky guitar, a great guitar players, but it's much more noise and different. Did you ever have a desire to be a soul singer?
I still want to be a soul singer. I just can't.
I mean, you're
a
soulful singer for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's important for me to try and denaturalize the musicianship of our band in a way that we seek out soul music because I'm a fan of it. I don't speak that language. I'm not an American. I'm not black. And I'm not from that part of history. What I did was learn how to sing in Idols. And we speak our own language. So it's like, I hope that there's bits of soul music in our music. I hope people can extract that. And I feel like one of the main elements of our music that I truly believe in is that we feel it 100%. And we don't do it unless we truly believe in what we do. And that's something that I learned from soul music, I think.
I'm going to play some of your music for those who might not yet know of you. Play Danny Nedelko. Why can't I say it? My tongue got tied.
It happens, Nedelko. Especially with Danny Nedelko.
There you go. There you go.
My blood brother's friend.
Did your friend, you remember the reaction when your friend heard this song?
Nah, I can't. I don't think I. Oh, I don't know. He came to the studio because we didn't really play our songs from Joy too much before we recorded the album, you know? we did, but like in parts. So we played it, worked it through because we always write songs with live in mind more than the record.
You do this in a what's your rehearsal space look like?
Small sweaty room, yeah. Mold on the walls, sharing with three other bands that didn't respect the space.
Wow.
Amazing bands though. Spectres, one that you might have heard of. The Naturals, yeah, amazing bands. Anyway, I definitely told him about it. The idea of the song was that me and Danny Nedelko promised each other we'd write a song for each other.
Because you're blood brothers.
Exactly. And his is blood brother, and mine's Danny Nedelko. And then when I thought about the idea of writing a song about him, I just thought, what a beautiful thing to just try and remind people of the human element behind the debates around immigration. And what's important really is that everyone has equal opportunity to live a safe and warm and fed life, you know, no matter where you are. That's what democracy is. So,
are you feeling that to be true around the neighborhoods you live in?
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm in Bristol, man. Like, it's a liberal, multicultural city. There are right-wing groups all over the UK, as there are everywhere else. But I live in a nice place, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. I'm talking with Joe Talbot of the band Idols, and you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Tito's Handmade Vodka. Born and bred in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Incorporated, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Joe Talbot of the band Idols. Where are you finding music these days? Is it radio? Is it friends only? Is it how do you?
It's word of mouth. Like, touring's a really beautiful opportunity. You meet bands all the time and fans, and they give you bands all the time. I put it in my phone and I look it up the next morning. That's great.
That's what's amazing.
I mean, you know, we went over to Australia, and Australia has a really vibrant scene for bands. Toured with some great bands. Toured with a band called Bench Press, who are awesome. City Rose, who are really good, like just amazing post-punk band. Mm-hmm. There's just this world of music from Australia that I didn't know about. And obviously, so every time I met someone new that was a fan, I was like, what have you got? So I had a list. I came out with like 50 bands.
Wow. Tell me something that today that you love that maybe another band turned you on to or that you think's important we ought to know about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got put on to Lee Kelly. I don't know how to say it. It was Lee Kelly or Lee Kelly 47 by a friend of mine touring. It's kind of like the beats are intricate, well processed. I think the album flows, but acrylic, it flows beautifully. There's a lot of like Afrobeat influences on there. And she's a Brooklyn MC rapper, and I just think the album's infectious and everything I love about hip hop.
I'll play Tick Boom from the
Thank you.
The Kelly 47.
Tick, boom, and I really care where my bump into. all in your face like war. Air Max, cornrows, got that Bruce Leroy gonna glow. Me over pop me head, in if it is though, so they only pop my head in for the dough. I never stay long, got places to go. See me on a scene, say hello. I get that bag, then I want more. I am the show, the name will grow. I see O and I see ho. Let me R-E my you bro. They all wanna be cause I am goals. Came from the dirt, so I stay low. F-A-B and so ghetto. They copy and paste such a no no. Your birds might not want cross that road. Cause tick.
Boom.
If you haven't, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but they did a Tiny Desk concert, McKelly 47.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. And it is mind-blowing. That's how I Rodney Carmichael is our hip-hop writer for NPR Music.
Yeah.
And he brought them in, and I had never heard of them. And
did she have the balaclava face?
Yeah, yeah.
Sick.
And they were mind-boggling. And that band, it's like a great, you don't hear it here, but they're a great jazz band too. Mm. I mean, they used our upright piano and you know, bass guitar and drums, and wow.
Mm.
They were really, really good. And then they played, we brought them to a church in Austin, Texas, at South By this year.
No way.
And they played three songs in this church, and it was just mind-boggling good. The Kelly 47. I'm so glad you picked that.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I get to watch a Tiny Desk I didn't know about. That's, yeah, magic. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Word of mouth, I think, is the most trusted way of discovering new music, especially at the moment. The hype machine and the way bands are pushed in the UK is that there's not enough money, so people are scrambling around, and there's a lot of sycophancy around safe music. So it's hard to discover new stuff as much in
safe music, as in like not
just
not,
boring.
Yeah, I see. Yeah,
sellable music. Touring is a really good opportunity of discovering new stuff through people I respect.
And then, of course, in the old days, if you said to somebody, "Oh, you should hear this song," you like sit around on the radio and wait for it to come around again, or you go to your friend's house and they play it for you. But this is the beauty of. We sort of put down a little bit the generation of streaming and so forth, but it is really mind-boggling that I don't take it for granted. Growing up around your house, I actually don't know how old you are. You don't have to reveal. But what time period were you starting to listen to music? What years would it have been? How old?
As an active listener, I was probably about 10.
Yeah.
My mom used to play music all the time, and my dad as well. They separated when I was a baby, but I had a good life with both of them. My dad's an artist, so he's always been very much interested in the arts and music, mm-hmm. and we've always had an open dialogue around that sort of thing.
Did they have different tastes? Like a
very different taste. My mum had bad taste. My dad has a very eclectic taste. My mum was into I love Lionel Richie, but Lionel Richie, Simply Red, Chris de Burgh, that kind of 80s. She was busy working all the time, so whatever was on the radio, she liked. You know,
and dad?
My dad, his favorite album, I think, is probably Boatman's Call, or my favorite album that he put onto me at the end of my fascination with hip hop when I was about 19. I only listened to hip hop, really, and soul music, blues, and stuff. And then I discovered hip hop at 10. It was Far Side, Bizarre Ride to the Far Side. No, Lab Cabin California. It's the first album I had that really made me excited for my own language, to discover my own path in music and listening to music that I wanted, that wasn't anyone else's, you know? It was like, I chose hip-hop.
Yeah.
And so that was it for 9 years. And then my dad was like, you know, I had an adult conversation with him about the kind of the content in hip-hop, but now I couldn't really relate to it as I was getting older as an adult, as a white middle-class boy from England. And he said, well, yeah, but there's, you know, just it's not about that. It's about listenership and just enjoying things from all over. You just need to discover lots of music and appreciate that instead of just sticking to your bubble. So I did. He gave me Astral Weeks by Van Morrison, and then the rest was history.
Can we go and play the album that you were just talking about?
That's Lab Cabin California by Far Side. And I'd say Running was my favorite tune when I was a small wee lad. Nice.
Bring back memories.
Come on. You know, don't want to ruin it.
that effect. Respect I used to never get, cause all I got was upset when niggas used to be like, and try to sweat a nigga like the lip. For no reason at all, I can't recall, cause niggas rolling C's in my face. Down the hall, I'm kicking it in the back of the school, eating chicken at 3. Wondering why is everybody always picking on me? I tried to talk and tell them, chill, I did nothing to deserve this. But when it didn't work, I wasn't scared, just real nervous and unprepared to deal with scrapping, no doubt. My pappy never told me how to knock a nigga out, but now in 95, I'm a survivor, a man on my own. Fuck around with fat lip, yes, you get blown. I'm not trying to show no macho is shown, but when it's on, then it's on.
Love it.
This was mid-90s, maybe?
Yeah, 95. Yeah. I was 11.
Love this.
Yeah.
And then you also mentioned this, which I just love the contrast that...
Yeah.
Play Van Morrison, just a minute of Astral Weeks, or is there another song, but it's a title track.
If I ventured in the slipstream...
I love this song.
Between the viaducts of your dream... Where mobile steel rims crack and the ditch and the back road stop. Could you find me? Or would you kiss my eyes? Lay me down. Silence is the ache to be born again. To be born again. From the far side of the ocean, if I put the wheels in motion, and I stand with my arms behind me, and push another door, could you find?
It's hard to pull that fader down. I'm just saying, Van's fighting me. He wants, yeah. He wants it back up again. See, there he goes.
There he goes.
What is it? What do you want from music? Like, what do you want music to do to you? Not as a performer, but like as a listener.
Interestingly, I was just thinking about that then and why I think that album, Astral Weeks, changed my life. It made me realize that I was like greedy. I'm a very instinctive person. I don't really work too much on intricacies. I just am in the moment. And if I love something, I love it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And that Odyssey, that album that takes you on a journey through Belfast and into Van Morrison's strange little world, it just took me to a place of pure joy and love. And I think for me, it's all about feeling. Music is all about feeling. I'm never going to denaturalize what it means. You know, as a film student, I kind of saw behind the curtains a bit of how films are made and studied film as a theory, and I lost a bit of the romance there. I wouldn't do the same with music. I'll never make that mistake. That's why you'll never see me playing too many instruments. I'm a glutton for feeling it. And it's instantaneous and it lasts forever. And I love it. And I think, you know, Astral Weeks does it for me now as it did when I first heard it at 19. And I'm very grateful to my father. It also connects me with worlds I might not understand, but it's a connection. It's a very humane thing that is untold. We don't understand music, really.
That's right.
You know, and why bother?
It's ephemeral, but
yeah,
it touches all the molecules inside of your body, yeah, and vibrates them. Love it. Let's go to something that you wrote. We'll take there's a new single, relatively new single.
It's Mercedes Marxist. We recorded it in the Joy Sessions. It was going to be on the album, and then it was a last minute. We had two others that we didn't put on the album. But this one, we were like, it didn't feel right for me lyrically. I was in a really bad place.
Okay.
It was me kind of, that this was the one, this is one step before Joy started, basically, lyrically, and the where I was in my life. I wasn't using Joy as an act of resistance in my life. I was in a cycle of self-deprecating and self-damaging behaviors, that this was a point when I realized I was unhappy and I was, you know, waking up on sofas and working in a job that that I would never go anywhere with, and I wanted to kind of change my life. But I wasn't there yet. This was me just going, what ashtray are you in now?
Wow. That's a good line. Okay, I'm going to play it. You are in, you're going to, traveling to, where are you, where's the tour taking you next?
To one of my favorite venues in the world, Beachland Ballroom.
Awesome. So yeah. If you're anywhere in that area, like, go to the, see this band, because it's, like, this stuff's great on record, but it is just a whole nother
entity
live.
I was just listening to that. I don't normally listen to our music. I hate it. It feels very clean, and I like that. It's like two languages, live record.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's nice to give people different dimensions to what your language is. There's no point in having the same thing. That's why we'll never be. Also, we're not very good at our instruments, so we'll always be a bit scrappy live. But there's feeling there. So
scrappy's good.
Yeah, well, it is. It works for us. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, so it's nice. It's a nice hearing that song in that period, because it was right at the start, just before Joy, and now I can look back and really appreciate what that album meant, which was changing my life for the better, and using joy and enjoyment, listening to myself and creating a new world from working hard and being kind to myself. And now we got a label, we're putting out music, which is one of the songs I wanted to pick, and it just makes me feel like I've got a lot more purpose, and I'm now a husband and a father, and I feel beautiful. And thank you, Bob, for reminding me.
Awesome. And when I see you, my first reaction to you was, stand back, look out, there's a lot of aggression happening, like,
yeah,
the first notes, and then all of a sudden I got sucked into the embrace that your words speak of, and then it became a completely different community in the room. I saw, the first time I saw you was 2018 at South by Southwest,
yeah,
in that Latitude 30, that it was a Brit night. And it was so amazing. And then last night in D.C. at Rock and Roll Hotel. I want you to pick me two more things. One, to go pick things you love now. We'll play them real quick. And
thank you very much, Bob. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So one is Crows, Silver Tongues. That's the band we put out on Bally Records. But it's also a band I discovered when I worked at Louisiana in Bristol at a venue. And they blew my mind. And then now I get to release their music.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. really, really, really good.
Thank you.
I know nothing about this group. Where'd they record this? This is Crows.
Yeah, I don't know where they recorded.
Okay.
You'll have to ask my partner, the label, Marco. They recorded it way before we signed this record. We just discovered it and fell in love. I mean, I discovered them years before, and I just wanted to know where they disappeared to. They were the best live band I ever saw working at this venue. And suddenly they came back, and I was chatting to them via email, and I'm so grateful. We toured with them in the UK, and they're in my head, they're what I want to be on stage. They're a lot cooler than I am, but they're stunning, stunning band.
So that's Crows. And then take us out on something.
Well, this is something that I thought about. I wanted, to, as I'm here in the US, and there's a time of unrest in the UK, it's titled Brexit. And I genuinely think this is something that we've been talking about as a band. Slow Tie is an MC, grime, kind of hip-hop grime artist from Northampton in the UK. He is a joyous and violent young man who's got so much confidence, and he's so astute at what he does in his own language.
Joyous and violent?
Yes, yeah. I think that's what we try and achieve as well as a band. So you can be joyous and violent, violently love things, and it's about your brushstrokes and the way you paint the picture. You can paint a violent picture without hurting anyone. And that's what he does beautifully. I think he's a very exciting artist from the UK, and it's what Brexit sounds like. His album is called Nothing Great About Britain, and he's Slow Tie, and the song is with Muramasa, who's a formidable producer, and the song's called Doorman. It's one of the best songs, apart from, I mean, I wanted to play DWE, who's an MC from UK. He's one of the proto MCs of grime in the UK, and anyone, just check out DWE. But this is the future, and I want people to be excited about what's coming out of our armpit of a country.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for having us.
And folks, no, we'll put full versions of these songs up online so they're not just here on the minute thing, and really appreciate this, Joe Talbot.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Lots
Good luck.
Of love, Bob.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Joe Talbot from the band Idols. Their most recent album is called Joy as an Act of Resistance. We're going out on one of Joe's picks by Slow Tie. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Gonna get your head kicked in.
Shoot the messenger, string them up. She's a 10 plus 10, not enough. Mixed messages, wires cross. Marry me, what you got too much? Toothbrush and socks. Parents minted Mayfair, couple dogs. We go on walks, she never talks. I pull my heart out, she laps up my blood. Blue light, double vision. Heart races like super cars. Can't quit it. Two's up, two's down. You stop it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out wow. Nicotine, can't quit it. Two's up, two's down. You stop it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out wow. Doorman, let me in the door. Spend all my money, you ain't getting no more wages. Sure, sir. Sir, are you sure? Ensure I'm not. Can't quit, two's up, two's down, you stop.
sub it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out loud.
Just about any type of drug is in, but glue sniffing ranks equal number one with cheap booze.
Hello.
Cyril is a glue man, and his outlook on life is invariably through a plastic bag. Even on the street, he has something up his sleeve to make work more tolerable.
The only thing that no one takes is heroin, you know, if I do, we kick them out. That's the thing that is really, really bad for you. Most people take things in moderation, you know.